I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord, and welcome back to those who have traveled. So good to see you back in the house of the Lord. Now, I want to ask you, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. This morning. Yes? All of us must be very, very glad to be in the house of the Lord, to be given this wonderful opportunity to worship Him. The wonderful privilege to call Him Abba Father. It is not everybody who can call God Abba Father. It is those who are His blood-bought children who can do so. And we are indeed His blood-bought children. And what a great privilege it is for us to be able to call Him Abba Father. And let us never forget that we come here to worship Him. We want to honor Him and we want to glorify Him. And let us never forget to be coming to the house of the Lord punctually, early. If you truly want to honor Him, then we must be coming here early, punctually, to worship Him. And let us never forget also that we come here for another purpose, and that is to corporately tell the world that we have a living Savior, Jesus, and He dwells in our hearts. That's the purpose of our coming together to worship the Lord corporately. The message this morning is, can we bear having a wounded spirit? Can we bear having a wounded spirit? Now, this spirit that is spoken of here is not the Holy Spirit, but it is our human spirit. I'll talk a little bit more about it later on. Now, the word of Proverbs in Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Now, all of us look well, yes, but I dare say that we all have our infirmities. Some of us have got migraine, some of us have got diabetes, some of us have got high blood pressure, and some of us have got chronic hay fever, some have all kinds of other kinds of chronic illnesses, and some of us may even have an incurable disease. I dare say that many people seem to be able to bear their physical infirmities, and some are able to bear them well. They seem to have this endurance to be able to bear their physical infirmity. Isn't it very true? Yes, you look around, many people are able to bear their physical infirmity. Then there are martyrs who are willing to suffer for their cause. They are able to bear the physical pain, the physical agony, the physical torture. So you see, the spirit of man seems to be able to sustain his infirmities. The spirit of man seems to be able to bear his infirmities. Now, what is this spirit of man? Now, this spirit of man is not the spirit of God, as we said. It is the spirit of man. And it is also not the spirit of the soul. Some commentators think that the spirit of man here refers to the soul. But rather, then there are other commentators who say that this spirit of man here refers to the strength, the energy of the mind that is that exerts great influence over the physical body. Now, I'm very inclined to take this second view, that the spirit of man here refers to the energy and the strength of the mind which has influence over the physical body. Now, what is meant by the spirit of man? Now, let me give you an example. Sometimes we say that people have this boldness of spirit to climb Mount Everest. In others, we say that he's very, very courageous. He has the boldness of spirit to climb Mount Everest. Now, this spirit here refers to the spirit of man. Or sometimes we say, oh, this team has got fighting spirit. The team is losing, but the players don't hang their heads down. They lift up their heads high, and they continue fighting. They have fighting spirit. This spirit here refers to the spirit of man. Now, though it is true, the spirit of man is able to sustain his infirmities in many situations, I dare say that there are some physical infirmities which we find very, very hard to bear. And if we have these physical infirmities, we can feel very, very defeated. We want to be victorious, but we don't seem to be able to be victorious. What we need is, and then we try to look in, within ourselves. We look at the spirit of man within us, and we say, oh, the spirit of man in us just is just not able to handle this situation, just not able to handle this infirmity. Yes, we feel very, very defeated. Now, what we need is a higher power, a greater power. In fact, what we need is the superpower, the power of God's mighty Holy Spirit. And it is the, indeed the Holy Spirit who is able to produce the fruit of the Spirit, even love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and meekness, and temperance. Now, it is this showing forth the fruit of the Spirit when we are under stress, when we are stricken with these infinite infirmities, that we are able to bear a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. But my dear friends, we can't begin to talk about the Holy Spirit bearing the fruit of the Spirit in us unless the Holy Spirit indwells us. But how can we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us so that we may have this fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance to handle the infirmities that come upon us. My dear friends, how may we have this Holy Spirit indwelling us? Now, we may have Him dwelling in us if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, if we repent from our sins, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He will come into our heart. And He dwells in us in the person of God's mighty Holy Spirit. And when we have Him in us, then we will be able to bear the wears and the tears of the infirmities of life. Yes, the trials and tribulations of life. We need the fruit of the Spirit to be shown in us so that we may be able to bear a good testimony for Him when we are suffering these physical infirmities that come upon us. Now, next, for our spirit to be able to sustain the infirmities of our lives well, our conscience must be cleansed. First, we said we must have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Next, our conscience must be cleansed. Our conscience must be purged so that we may be able to bear our infirmities well, so that the spirit of man in us is able to bear our infirmities. Now, if we have a conscience that is not pure, how can we bear our infirmities well? Infirmities such as an incurable disease. We can't bear our infirmities well, my dear friends, if our conscience is not purged. Yes, because if our conscience is not purged, we are not sure if our sins are forgiven, because our conscience is not pure. We are not even sure if we are going to heaven. Now, the prospect of dying will then be very, very fearful, because we are not sure if we are going to heaven because of this impure conscience of ours. Our conscience must be purified. And if our conscience is purified, then we can tell ourselves. If we have the Holy Spirit in us and our conscience is pure, then we can tell ourselves, what does it matter? What does it matter? The glory that awaits us is far, far greater than the affliction that we are bearing right now, the infirmity that we are bearing right now. The infirmity that we are bearing right now is only a light affliction. It is something that is momentary. Yes, we'll be then looking forward to the great glory that we will be experiencing in the future. And like the great Apostle Paul, we will be able to say, as in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If I suffer any sickness, what does it matter? If I suffer any setback, what does it matter? All these things are working for me. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. All these things are working for me. How do they work for me? They are working for me because they are weaning me from the world and directing my attention to focus on the glory that awaits me, the glory that far, far outweighs this affliction that I'm going through right now, which is momentary and which is only something that is very, very light compared to the eternal weight of glory that we are going to receive in the future. So we tell ourselves, let me suffer for his glory. Let me be a good testimony for him in my suffering. And friends, I know that I'm able to suffer this infirmity. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me, and because my conscience is clear. My conscience is clean. Now, for our spirit to sustain our infirmities well, we must trust him more and more. Yes, we must trust him. If we have some physical infirmities, how can the spirit of man in us bear these infirmities? The only way is for us to trust him more and more. We have to have the Holy Spirit in us. We have a pure conscience, and we must trust him more and more. Like Job, my dear friends, we surely will be doing well if we can say, when we are suffering the infirmities of life, yes, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. If we can say, we can say that, yes, surely, my dear friends, we will be doing well, just like Job did. He did very well in when he suffered his infirmities. Remember the case of Job. In one single day, he lost all his property. He lost his children, 10 children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. And then he subsequently lost his health. And yet he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. My dear friends, we will be doing very, very well if we can think like Job. And we will be doing very, very well if we can say, surely there must be some advantages. Surely there must be some benefits in these sufferings that I'm going through. Yes, surely we'll be doing very, very well if we have this faith to believe that all things are working for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity if that man has the Holy Spirit in him, if that man's conscience is cleansed, and if that man's faith is growing by the day. His spirit in him, that spirit of man in him, will be able to sustain his infirmity. He will be able to bear his infirmities well. Now, so far, we have been talking about the spirit of man being able to bear his infirmities, right? The spirit of man being able to bear his infirmities. But what if the spirit of man is wounded? Now, this spirit that if we have, what if it is wounded? Will we be able to bear our infirmities? Or rather, will we be able to bear the wounding of the spirit? So far, we are talking about the spirit of man bearing his infirmities. But what if this spirit of man is wounded? Are we able to bear the wounding of the spirit of man? And that's what we want to talk about next. Can we bear a spirit that is wounded? Now, let us consider a few forms of the wounding of the spirit. Now, the first form that I want to talk about is one that is emotional. Now, for example, a person could be rejected in love. Yes, that kind of wounding is emotional. A person could be rejected in love. His heart is broken. Yes, he gives all his love to this woman, but his love is rejected. Can he bear such a wound? Can he? Such a wound, I dare say, is very, very difficult to bear. Isn't it true? Yes, the wounding of the spirit of man emotionally when the person's love is rejected. But friends, there is a cure. There is a cure for the wounding of the spirit emotionally. The cure is the Lord. Now, if the person realizes that that woman whom he loves in that manner, has been set up as his idol. If he realizes that he has set her up as his idol, then he's actually on the way to recovery. When he realizes that this woman is an idol, my idol, then he's on the way to recovery. If he realizes that he should be loving the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his mind, and with all his strength, rather than loving that woman that way, when he's rejected in love, will he be hurt? Yes, no. I say, you will still be hurt, but the hurt will not be that bad. It will be something that is bearable, because he loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not that woman. Now, the spirit also could be wounded emotionally. Also, if a person fails to achieve his ambition, he sets his heart to climb the corporate ladder. He sets his heart to establish a business empire. But he fails. He fails to achieve his ambition. And because he fails to achieve his ambition, he feels that he's a great failure. Yes, he's emotionally hurt. His world appears to have collapsed. Again, is there a cure for such a wounding of the spirit emotionally? Is there a cure? Yes, there is a cure. You see, what's the cause of the wound? The cause of the wound is that this man had a wrong sense of priority in his life. The cure is for him to have the right priority in his life, or for his life. He must have the right priority. And what's the right priority? What's the right priority for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? So that when failure comes our way, we may be able to bear the failure. My dear friends, what should our right priority be? Our right priority should be this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That should be our top priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yes, and if we did that, if we sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Lord promises to give us the things that we need. Not the things that we ambitiously want to have, but all the things that we are in need of, he will give to us. And we will gladly receive them. If we sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then we will be very glad to receive all those things that the Lord has given to us, and we will be very, very contented with them. Because why? We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we receive them, we feel very, very contented. My dear friends, if we are in that mode, yes, we operate in that manner, any failure that comes our way will not shake us. Yes, we will not be wounded in the spirit emotionally. But don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we should not be ambitious. We must be ambitious. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be ambitious. And we must be very, very ambitious. In fact, we must be very, very ambitious in the way we make use of the talents which the Lord has given to us. All of us one day shall have to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of the talents that he has given to us. Yes, don't forget that. All right, so let's not hide our talents. All of us have been given talents, and we are expected to use our talents for him. In our work, in wherever he has placed us, my dear friends, we are to make use of our talents. We must be ambitious for him. But if we are ambitious, my dear friends, let us be ambitious for the Lord. Be ambitious to glorify his holy name. Our position should be this: if the Lord wants me to do this, I'll do this. If the Lord wants me to do that, I'll do that. I'll do all these things for his glory. But I'll be very, very contented with what the Lord has given to me, with the talents that he's given to me, with whatever he's given to me. I'll be very, very contented. My whole aim in life is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, if we did that, if failures ever come our way, we will not be terribly disappointed. Yes, because we are very contented in the Lord. Now, the spirit could be wounded emotionally also if a man or a person loses a loved one. Now, it would be very unnatural, very unfeeling, and I think it is wrong if the spirit of that person is not wounded if he loses a loved one. Isn't it true? yes, I think it's wrong, unfeeling, unnatural, if the spirit of that person is not wounded emotionally, if he loses a loved one. But it will be wrong if that wounded spirit refuses to be comforted and desires to just to keep the wound open all the time. I feel very wounded and I want to keep the wound open all the time. It would be wrong if the person did that. Yes, Spurgeon related the story of this woman who refused to be comforted over the loss of a child. So what did she do? For years she kept wearing black, and she never forgave God for taking her child away. One day, she attended a Christian meeting. And then there was this other lady who was at this meeting, and this woman at the meeting stood up, and all of a sudden she said this out of the blue, without any reference to anybody. Yet she didn't even know that this woman was there in the hall who was mourning over her lost child. Yes, she just said this: "Oh, truly I perceive that we children are idols. I perceive that children are idols." This woman who was there, who was mourning over her lost child, felt very, very rebuked by what this woman said. That child had indeed become her idol, yes, to the extent that she refused to be comforted. Now, what was the cure for her? The cure for her was, of course, to turn away from the idol, from her child, but to set her affections and turn her attention to none else but to the Lord Jesus Christ, to focus his attention on the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be the cure for her. Now, friends, how we need to check ourselves to see what our first love is. What is your first love? What is my first love? We must check what our first love is. Now, if the Lord is not our first love, and other things are our first love, our girlfriend, our boyfriend, our ambition, our loved ones, any object, our child, if these things are our loved ones, if they are taken away from us, any of these taken away from us, of course we will be very, very emotionally wounded. The spirit of man in us will be very, very wounded emotionally. Let us be warned, my dear friends. The Lord might just chastise us by taking those things that we love very, very much, those things that have become our first love, away for our own good, to teach us for our own good. So let us be warned. Now, the second form of the wounding of the spirit is mental. We talk about the wounding of the spirit. Who can bear the wounding of the spirit? The wounding of the spirit can be emotional. The wounding of the spirit can be mental, and we are going to talk about it now. Now, one of the mental griefs we might suffer is to see people whom we help very, very much becoming ungrateful to us. We have helped those people with great expense of our time, of our energy, of our resources, and even at great sacrifices. And then these people are ungrateful, and they show their ingratitude by turning against us. And now, friends, this gratitude can come even from your very loved ones, even from your own children. Did you realize that? This ingratitude can come from them. So, my dear friends, if we should ever experience this kind of ingratitude from people, what should we do? Where is our comfort? Where is your comfort? If somebody whom you love very, very dearly, whom you showered all your love, whom you helped at great expense, with great sacrifices and so forth, should be turning against you, and who shows great ingratitude to you, what should you do? Where is your comfort? Our comfort, my dear friends, is in the Lord. Our comfort is in the Word of God. We must look into the Word of God for our comfort. Yes, in the Word of God, we will see examples of people who were treated that way and how they comforted themselves, and we can learn from their experiences. Now, a case in point would be this man, David. Yes, David was not king yet. Yes, this great king, he was not king yet. At that time, he was still a fugitive running away from King Saul, although Saul was at the end of his reign. But he was running from King Saul. And then when he established base at this place called Ziklag with a group of people, maybe about 600 to 1,000 people or so. And so he had set up his base at this place called Ziklag. And in the meantime, he had pretended to form an alliance with the enemies of Israel, the Philistines. And then one day the Philistines wanted to attack Israel. So David and his men, of course, had no choice but to join them to pretend to attack to go and attack the children of Israel. But fortunately, the Philistines were very, very suspicious of his loyalty. So they said, David, no, we don't want you to come along with us. So this man, having left the city of Ziklag, David and his men having left the city of Ziklag, went back to the city of Ziklag. But in the meantime, when they had left the city of Ziklag, what had happened was the enemies, the Amalekites, had come to attack the city of Ziklag. And they took away the women folk and the children and all their belongings. They took them away. So when David and his men came back to the city of Ziklag, they were very, very grieved. The whole city was ransacked. And you know what did the people do? The followers of David. They were very, very angry with David. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to stone him. I say, if you were David, how would you feel? These were the people you led through to thick and thin. Yes, you love them, you care for them, but now they turn against you. What kind of ingratitude was that? That was gross ingratitude. Now, what did David do? We read in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. I'd like us to look at this verse. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. All right, I read this verse for you. And David was greatly distressed. You see, they came back to the city of Ziklag. All right, the city was ransacked. They lost all the women and all the children and all the belongings. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. They wanted to kill him by stoning, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So what did David do? I say, no help from any place. So he encouraged himself in the Lord. The right place to encourage himself in. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord really encouraged him. Subsequently, what happened was David led his men. Somehow they agreed to follow him. They went after the Amalekites. They destroyed all the Amalekites, recovered all the women folk and the children and all the belongings. And on the top of that, they also gained the spoils of war. So David encouraged himself in the Lord. So what do we do when people whom we love and help become ungrateful and say all kinds of untrue things and unkind things about us? Our spirit, I'm sure, will be wounded, terribly wounded emotionally. Yes, wounded mentally. But let us turn to the Lord for encouragement. Otherwise, my dear friends, we will become very, very depressed. If we want encouragement, what do we do? Turn to the Word of God, and I recommend to you, if you needed encouragement, to read the Psalms. The Psalms are very, very beautiful for encouragement. Very, very wonderful for encouragement. You need encouragement? Read the Psalms. Now, I give you a sample of a passage that you might want to read if you are discouraged. Okay, just turn to Psalm 31. Psalm 31 and verses 1 to 4 and to 5. Psalm 31, 1 to 5. Psalm 31. All right, I read for you. Psalm 31, 1 to 5. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thee, into thy hand, I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. My dear friends, do you not find encouragement in words like this? So when we need encouragement, turn to the Word of God, and you find great encouragement in the Word of God, particularly the Psalms. Now, some might think that powerful minds are not vulnerable to the wounding of the spirit mentally. Is that true? Not true. Yes, even a great man like Sir Isaac Newton, remember Sir Isaac Newton, that great scientist, he suffered from depression also. Now, he was the master and teacher of the truest philosophy. His philosophy was, of course, the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the middle years of his life, he suffered from depression. Then there was another scientist by the name of Robert Boyle. All these are people with great minds. Yes, a great philosopher. And he was also a devout believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He too suffered great depression. And in fact, his situation was so bad that if suicide is not forbidden in the Word of God, he would have committed suicide. Yes, that was how bad his depression was. Now, what about the great C.H. Spurgeon? Did C.H. Spurgeon ever suffer from depression? I say yes. He suffered from bouts of depression. I read you his testimony, all right? Listen to what he says. He says, I am the subject of depression, so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. But I'll always get back again by this. I know that I trust Christ. I've no reliance but in Christ. And if he falls, I shall fall with him. But he does not fall, and therefore I shall not fall. Because he lives, I shall live also. And I spring to my legs again and fight with my depression of spirit and get the victory through it. And so may you do, and so you must, for there is no other way of escaping from it. No other way of escaping from your depression except through the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was the experience of the great C.H. Spurgeon. So, my dear friends, if we are wounded in the spirit mentally, turn to the Lord. Trust in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ to fight that depression. He is the rock and our salvation. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Turn to the Lord. Turn to his word. I say you find great medicine, great comfort in his word. Yes, for example, we have these wonderful words given in the book of 2 Timothy. I refer to 2 Timothy. A wonderful, wonderful verse that you must know. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Yes, if you need encouragement, this is a verse that will surely encourage you. Yes, if you are ever wounded in the spirit mentally. All right. 2 Timothy 1, 7. All right. Let's read that verse together. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. You see how wonderful. Yes. But the wounding of this, of the spirit in these two forms. You talk about two of them, the emotional form and the mental form. Yes, the wounding of the spirit in these two forms, great and severe as they may be, and unbearable as they may be, my dear friends, they are nothing. They are nothing compared to the wounding of the spirit spiritually. Yes, the third form of the wounding of the spirit, the wounding of the spirit spiritually. Now, I want to talk about next about the wounding of the spirit spiritually. First of all, of unbelievers. I'm talking about the wounding of the spirit of unbelievers. Now, this is the type of the wounding of the spirit that is totally and absolutely unbearable. This wounding of the spirit is inflicted by what? Inflicted by the burden of guilt. It is the burden of bearing the torment that our sins have not been forgiven. My dear friends, a person bearing that kind of burden, I dare say that he might just be experiencing the foretaste of hell on this side of eternity. Yes, in the Bible we have the case of this man called Cain. Cain was the firstborn son of Adam. You know what? He killed his brother. He committed the first murder ever. He killed his brother Abel. Why? Because he was jealous of his brother Abel. Abel's offering unto the one true living God was accepted by the one true living God. But his, Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable. And when he killed his brother, God said that this was going to be his punishment. And this is recorded for us in the book of Genesis. God told him this: when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I can't bear this punishment. It's more than I can bear. True, the punishment that he was experiencing was hard to bear, because when he tilled the ground was no longer going to be productive. And then he had to behave like a vagabond, like a fugitive, running away, escaping punishment. But I dare say, my dear friends, that the greatest punishment that he was bearing was the guilt of killing his brother Abel. That was the greatest burden that he was bearing. That was the greatest punishment that he was bearing. And I think another great punishment that he was bearing was the truth that he was seen by the one true living God as the product of the devil. God saw him as the product of the devil. Now, how do I know this? Because the Word of God says so. If you turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, concerning Cain. Yes, and this was a burden very, very hard for him to bear. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. All right, I read for you. 1 John is at the end of the Bible, near the end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. You know what that means? He was a product of the wicked one. That's what it means. Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And why did he kill him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So, my dear friends, he was very, very much wounded in the spirit, spiritually, because he was bearing the guilt of killing his brother, and then he was also seen by God as a product of the evil one. Now, it must have been living hell, I say living hell, for King Saul after he disobeyed God and rebelled against him. You know, Saul rebelled against the one true living God on two occasions, at least two occasions, and these two occasions are recorded for us in the Word of God. Yes, after his rebellion against the one true living God, I dare say that life for him must have been living hell. Now, first of all, he rebelled against the one true living God when he authorized the sacrifice of an animal to the one true living God. He thought that he was doing the right thing, but he was doing the wrong thing. Yes, true, he and his army were in serious trouble. Yes, they were fighting against the enemies, the Philistines, and he was desperate, and he was waiting for Samuel to come. And when Samuel appeared not to have come or late in coming, what he did was he authorized the killing, the sacrifice of an animal, something which he ought not to have done. Yeah, but Samuel came within the time appointed, and because of his disobedience to the one true living God, Samuel said to him, his kingdom was going to be taken away, given to a man after God's own heart. Now then, the second time he rebelled against the one true living God recorded in the Word of God was when he was commanded by God to exterminate the Amalekites. The Amalekites were very, very cruel people. They were enemies of God, enemies of God's people. When the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, the Amalekites attacked the children of Israel. They attacked the weak people, the old people, and God was very, very angry with them because of that. Yes, and God said that one day they would be exterminated. And God was going to judge them through this man, Saul. He told Saul, you kill all of them, kill the animals also. But what did Saul do? Saul did not kill, he killed everybody except the king. Yes, he spared the king, King Agag, and he spared the best of the animals that belonged to the Amalekites. And in a very hypocritical manner he said this. Oh, I told Samuel this, because Samuel was the one who rebuked him. He said, all these good animals, I reserve them for sacrifice unto the one true living God. And Samuel said these words to him. Yes, these words to him. Famous words to him. To obey is better than sacrifice. Yes. So the kind of experience that Saul was going through, I dare say, must be quite hellish. You see, after that, what happened? Yes, he was utterly blinded. He was blinded with envy and blinded with jealousy concerning David, because he knew that David was going to replace him as the king of Israel. So he hunted David like a hunter would hunt a wild animal. Yes, and the next chapter of his life was really very, very sad. The final chapter of his life, he was so desperate that he sought the help of a necromancer. A necromancer was somebody who supposedly could communicate with the dead. So he sought the help of the necromancer to try to communicate with the prophet Samuel. Yes, you see how desperate he was. Life must have been a real living hell for him after he started disobeying the one true living God. You know why it was hellish for him? It was hellish for him, and he didn't have to continue to be that way, actually. But it was hellish for him because he didn't repent. He was not repentant. Now, life for Judas, after he sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, must also be a living hell. Yes? How could it not be hell for him when his spirit was possessed by the evil one? Yes, the word of God tells us that his spirit was possessed by the devil. That is why he went out to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, if you are weighed down by the guilt of sin, just as Judas and Saul were weighed down by sin, you don't have to continue to be weighed down by sin. If you are seen as a product of the evil one by the one true living God, you don't have to continue to be seen as a product of the devil by the one true living God. You see, the problem with Saul and with Judas was this. They refused to repent. Yes, Judas refused to repent and he went and committed suicide. But you look at the thief on the cross. Yes, the thief on the cross must have committed very, very grievous crimes to have to suffer death by crucifixion. But this thief was different from Saul and from Judas. This thief repented. On the cross of Calvary, he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And what did the Lord say to him? "Today shall thou be with me in paradise," the Lord said to him. Yes, Christ died for us to remove the guilt of sin from us. He died for us while we were yet his enemies. And the word of God says in Isaiah 53 verse 5, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He died for us to heal us of our spiritually wounded spirit. If we have a spiritually wounded spirit, my dear friends, you don't have to continue to have that wounded spirit. That wounded spirit may be healed because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. What you need to do is to come to the Lord in repentance. Be like that thief, not like Saul and not like Judas. Be like that thief. Repent, and you'll be forgiven, and that guilt will be taken away, and your sins will be washed away by his precious blood. Now, next, let's talk about the wounding of the spirit spiritually of believers. We have talked about the wounding of the spirit spiritually of unbelievers. Now, let's talk about the wounding of the spirit of believers. Spiritual wounding of the spirit of believers. Now, we believers may be wounded spiritually also. When? My dear friends, our spirit may be wounded if we backslide. Yes, the classic case of backsliding is that of King David. Now, David was supposed to be a man after God's own heart. But there was a point in his life when he backslided. He committed two terrible sins. Yes, the first sin that he committed was the sin of adultery. He committed adultery with Bathsheba, caused her to be pregnant, and in order to marry her, he had her husband Uriah killed. Yes. Now, when he was unrepentant, when his spirit was wounded spiritually, when he was unrepentant, you know, it was really an unbearable torture for him. And I believe Psalm 32 verses 3 and 4 express the kind of anguish that he was going through. If you look at Psalm 32 and verses 3 and 4, you will see the kind of anguish that he was going through. His spirit was truly wounded spiritually because he backslided. Look at Psalm 32 verses 3 and 4. Yes, David says, when I kept silence, in other words, when I didn't confess my sins, I didn't repent, I didn't confess my sins, my bones waxed all through my roaring all the day long. For day and night the hand was heavy upon me. Thy moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. He felt that his bones were wasting away, waxing old, wasting away. And the burden of sin was so great that he would sigh and he would groan. He felt as if in him was a roaring furnace because of this burden of guilt that he was bearing. Yes, he felt the hand of God's judgment upon him. He felt that his soul had dried up. Yes, he said, for day and night the hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. You know, he felt as if his soul had dried up. No fluid in him. Yes, that kind of feeling surely was very hellish. His spirit was wounded spiritually. Then, in history, there were surely saints of the Lord who in a moment of weakness were wounded spiritually. Yes, they looked at the persecution that was coming upon them. They felt that they could not bear their persecution. And so they recanted their faith. Yes, they recanted their faith. But after they recanted their faith, they could not stand it because they were bearing the anguish of bearing the guilt of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they felt very, very wounded in the spirit spiritually. And so what did they do? They recanted their recantation. Yes, recanted their recantation. And there were people like Wang Mingtao, that great hero of the faith in China, who recanted his faith and then he recanted his recantation. The result of which, of course, he landed himself in jail, and he was jailed for many years. Yes, they backslided, and they came back to the Lord. Or he backslided, and he came back to the Lord. David backslided, and he came back to the Lord. And his relationship with the Lord was restored. My dear friends, are we experiencing the anguish of a wounded spirit? Are we? Perhaps the guilt of some sins in us is weighing down upon us very, very heavily. And the wounded spirit has become unbearable. My dear friends, we need have to continue to bear this guilt of unforgiven sins. If we have some sins in us that we are hiding and they are causing us to bear this terrible guilt of sin, my dear friends, we don't have to continue to bear this guilt of sin. The Lord has made a way for us to have this guilt taken away. He shed his precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary. What we need to do is to come before him and to confess our sins. He's made a way for us. And he's made us this promise in 1 John 1:9. I think we all know this verse. 1 John 1:9. If you know it, let's say it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, if we are willing to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And of course, when our sins are forgiven, we no longer have to feel bear the anguish of a wounded spirit that is wounded spiritually. So I dare say most of us have some kinds of infirmities. We all look well, but it's quite likely that we have some kinds of infirmities. As I said, we could have migraine, we could have sinusitis, we could have chronic hay fever, we could have even a terminal illness. And I dare say that generally speaking, the spirit of man in us is able to sustain these infirmities, able to bear these infirmities. But some infirmities are just too hard for us to bear. We need the Holy Spirit to come into us, to enable us to bear these infirmities, to produce the fruit of the Spirit in us, so that when we are bearing these infirmities, we are at the same time showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, and we can bear a very good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is unbearable is not so much the physical infirmities of our life. What is unbearable really is the wounding of the spirit. If our spirit is wounded, it's really very unbearable. The spirit could be wounded emotionally, it could be wounded mentally. And often we are wounded emotionally. Why? Because we have the wrong priorities. We expect the things of this world and people of this world to give us joy, but often we can be quite disappointed. Our joy must be the Lord. The Lord must be our joy. Yes, we must put Him first if we want to prevent ourselves from being wounded spiritually. And if we are wounded spiritually, my dear friends, very, very quickly, let us make sure that we turn our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get our priorities right. Once we get our priorities right, my dear friends, then this wound will be healed. And we could be wounded mentally. No matter how smart we are, no matter how intelligent we are, we can be wounded mentally. Yes, and the surest cure for us to be healed of our spirits being wounded mentally is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to trust in Him, trust in His resurrection power to give us the strength to fight whatever depression that comes our way. He's our rock and He's our salvation. And underneath us are His everlasting arms. And He grace gives us great encouragement from His word. And I gave you one verse to encourage us, right? If we ever suffer any kind of depression, remember the words given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And the severest kind of the wounding of the spirit is spiritual. Yes, the wounding, mental wounding, emotional wounding, they are severe. But the most severe kind of wounding is spiritual. If you are unrepentant, not a believer, and if you are unrepentant, your wounding of the spirit, my dear friends, is fatal. Yes, you are bearing the guilt of your sin, and your guilt of your sin is weighing down on you heavily. And for some, that experience can be very hellish. It is a foretaste of eternal hell. But friends, there is healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. By His stripes, we are healed. What you need to do, friends, is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to rule your life. If you have Him ruling your life, and you will ask for His precious blood to cleanse you of your sins, my dear friends, then this wound of the Spirit will be healed. Yes? And we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will feel the anguish of the wounded spirit. We can feel the anguish of the wounding of the spirit too, if we backslide. But again, as we said, there is healing in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can we bear a spirit that is wounded? A spirit that is wounded emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Can we? We can, friends, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and through His word. We can. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that there is healing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The wounded spirit, who can bear? Indeed, O Lord God, we are not able to bear the wounding of the spirit, even the three forms that we have talked about. The wounding of the spirit emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. But we thank you, O Lord God, that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able and who has the power to heal us of this spiritual wound, if we are wounded spiritually. And Father, we pray for those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. Lord, show them that they have indeed a wounded spirit spiritually. And they need this healing, because this wounding that they are having is something that is fatal. We pray that you will cause them to see that they need healing, and healing is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cause them to come to trust in him as Lord and Savior today. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.